All right, we'll open our Bibles tonight to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we'll be looking at a couple of verses there. Actually, I'm going to have you turn to quite a number of verses. Also, when you find James chapter 1, you can go to Matthew chapter 6. Just kind of hold your place there. I'll try to pause a little bit for the turning of the verse to the verses. We're going to be talking about prayer, asking in faith. I hope maybe to kind of resolve in our minds those verses that talk about we can ask for whatever we want. And if we believe, we can get it. If we can believe enough, it can be ours. There is a context to every one of those verses, and we'll talk about that tonight. There are three parts to prayer, three parts. The Trinity is involved in prayer. I want to show you that. In Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, the first part of the verse, we find out that we should pray after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. And so when we pray, we're supposed to be speaking to the Father, speaking to the Father. You hear a lot of people pray to Jesus. I've heard people pray to the Holy Spirit. God is one. But if we're going according to the instruction of the Word of God, then we need to pray to the Father. That's what it says. In John chapter 14, you don't need to turn there, but we speak through the Son. You know, there are a number of places that we do everything in Jesus' name. Prayer is just one of those. It says there, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Have you ever tried to do something or go somewhere and you just couldn't get there? You couldn't be allowed in or something until you said, well, my father's name or my brother's name or my cousin's name is so-and-so. Could you ask him to come out? I need to speak to him. Oh, you're so-and-so's cousin. Well, come on in. Why didn't you say so? Using that name, it's called dropping a name, sometimes helps you to get where you need to be. So we speak to the Father, we speak through the Son. Does the Holy Spirit have anything to do with it? Most definitely. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Romans 8, 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Romans 8, 26. So, involves the whole Trinity when we pray. We pray to the Father, we pray through the Son, and with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's an awesome thought, isn't it? The Trinity is involved in our prayers. There are some rules to praying. I know I've done this before, but let's just take a real quick glance at them once again. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So prayer is not for show. The Lord made that very clear to us in Matthew chapter 6, as he talked about prayer there. In verse 6, it tells us that the most vital prayer is personal prayer. Look at it. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and while when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which seeth, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So, talking about our prayer closet and talking to the Lord, and we can all the time. Obviously, it should be the most vital part of our prayer life is your personal prayer life with the Lord, and you talking to the Lord about what is on your heart and on your mind, and what He, the Spirit of God, may lead you, may cause you to remember, and you pray about it. In verse 7, it tells us not to pray in vain repetition, but when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. And then in chapter 6, go up to verse 14. The context is still prayer when he says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We ought to forgive before we pray, right? Get rid of all the sin. If we're not forgiving, that's a sin. We've been forgiven and God commands us to forgive others. And if we've got that in our mind and in our heart, there's some bitterness or some grief you have with another person, you need to get that settled first before you come to the Lord. So forgive before you pray. Over in Matthew, in chapter 21 and verse 22, let's look at this verse. Matthew 21, 22. This is one of those that tells you can ask for anything. And let's consider it tonight. Matthew 21, 22. It says that we ought to pray believing. Look at the verse, verse 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask, ask in prayer believing. What does it say? Ye shall receive. Ye shall receive. So, what's the context here? It's the Lord Jesus talking to His disciples. They have a big job ahead of them, don't they? They're going to be able to cast out demons. They're going to be able to heal withered hands and cause blind eyes to see, to raise the dead. They're going to be doing all sorts of things. And this is before they go out and they sort of lay the foundation of the church. So the context is Christ talking to His disciples about receiving power to work miracles and lay the foundation of the church. So we have to accept this as a disciples-only passage. Or we could say there's some implication here for us. He's talking about the disciples. But there's some implication here for us. But we have to sort of qualify this all things, don't we? You can't pray for anything you want. It won't necessarily happen because God hasn't promised everything. We have to pray within the will of God. Now, we're going to see that in a few minutes. We're going to get down to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And it'll say exactly that. Another one of the rules, if you will, for praying. But there's one verse. Remember that. Let's go over to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and it's not really, to be honest, it's not a prayer passage, but the vehicle that the Lord uses in this little story that He tells is prayer. And so we'll take a look at it tonight. It's the story of the widow and the unjust judge. The unjust judge, of course, not God. It's not God, and the widow is not you or me. It's not the church. But look at what He says. Verse 1, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. They ought always to pray and not faint. It has been said that the early African converts to Christianity, they were very serious about their devotional time and their prayer time. And so they would go off into their little portion, a separate spot in the thicket, and they would pour out their hearts to the Lord. And they did it regularly. And over a time, when they were going to their place, there would be an obvious path. There would be a path, and it would be dirt after a while, because they would kill all of the vegetation just by stepping over it and walking on it. And so it became very well worn. And as a result, if one of these believers began to neglect their prayer, you know what happened? The grass grew. And the brethren would say to them, "Brother, the grass grows in your path." And so they would encourage them to get back into their devotional time. So He's telling them here in this passage, and I sort of set that up incorrectly here. I was thinking of another verse, but to be persistent in prayer. The context is prayer here. I said it was not. Context is prayer. And we need to be persistent in our prayer life. Let's go to Luke 18. Luke 18, verses 10 to 14. Luke 18, 10 to 14. We need to repent. And this is the one that I was thinking. The context here is not prayer, but let's look at it and then we'll talk about it. Verse 10, Luke 18, 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, is this a prayer passage? No, but prayer was a sort of a vehicle. What's the idea? The context is not so much prayer, but contrition before God, humility before God. That's what the Lord was telling. And when the Lord tells a parable or a story, there's generally one meaning that he wants to get across with that. We can say, well, that fits this idea or this idea as well, but we ought to really search out what the context says the Lord is trying to get across if we want to understand the passage. Richard Linsky says this is talking about the humility of faith, but contrition, humility before God. But still, the truth taught here in this could be applied to our prayer life, couldn't it? We need to repent. We need to humble ourselves before we approach the throne room of God in our prayers, before we go to the Lord in prayer. We ought to get in the right spirit. We ought to be down here and the Lord way up there, and we ought to understand where we are in relation to God. So I would say the rule here is to repent first, or to approach God humbly in prayer. John chapter 14, John chapter 14, John 14 and verse 13. These are rules by which we should govern our prayer life. It says in John 14 and verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So whatever you ask, that will I do. That's not what we're looking at, but there's another one of those passages. What are we seeing here? To pray in Jesus' name. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? We talked about that just a little bit in the beginning. Jesus is our entrance to God. Remember, the veil in the temple was torn and thrown back when Jesus died on the cross, making way for everyone to enter into the presence of God. The presence of God, the manifest presence of God, then was the Ark of the Covenant. That's what people understood. God's behind that curtain. The presence of God is back there, and it was thrown back, and everybody. But do you remember what the veil represents? The veil represents the body of Jesus. The body was torn. And so all of that kind of fits together. It's a beautiful picture of our entrance into the Lord. We enter into the presence of the Lord, not because of our own worthiness, our own merit. It's not because we deserve this. It's because Jesus opened the door. And so we approach the Lord in Jesus' name. And when we say that, it ought not just be a vain repetition, right? We ought to understand what that means. Lord, I'm coming to you because Jesus made a way. I'm able to talk to you, Lord, because Jesus made a way. Father, I'm coming through the Son to talk to you. That's the idea here. Number 9, if you're numbering them, James chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, tells us not to pray selfishly. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. And ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. So prayer should not be selfish. That does not mean you can't pray for yourself, though, does it? I think a lot of my prayer time, I know a lot of my prayer time is for me. Not for things I want so much as what I know I need. Lord, help me with this, or help me with that. Give me the words to say here when I go. Lord, help me to be a good example to those that I minister to. We ought to pray for ourselves, but we ought not pray selfishly. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5:14. Number 10 and the last one. These are rules for praying. Pray in accordance with God's will. Verse 14. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. During the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln met with a group of ministers for a prayer breakfast. And they all got together. Lincoln was a man of deep thought, sort of an unorthodox faith he's been accused of. At one point, one of the ministers said, "Mr. President, let us pray that God is on our side." And Lincoln's response showed a far greater insight. "No, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side. We need to be on God's side." Lincoln reminded those ministers that religion is not a tool by which we get God to do what we want, but an invitation to open ourselves to being and doing what God wants. I think that's an excellent thought. Pray in accordance with God's will. Pray according to the will of God. How would we know the will of God? Well, His Word, obviously. His Word. Some people think that they can come to convincement about something they think ought to happen, and they come to convincement that it'll happen, and they would pray believing that this is the will of God. But I would say this, we need to be careful about that. I have heard so many people say, the Lord told me to ask for, or the Lord told me He's going to do this or that. We need to be careful about what we say the Lord said, because the revelation of God is complete in the Word of God. So anything He would say would have to be in keeping with the principles and precepts of the Word of God. If we get outside of that, I can guarantee you God did not say that to you. Okay? Because God does not speak contrary to His Word. So we've talked about, like, Matthew 21:22. We read that verse a while ago. "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Several other passages in the Gospels and a few passages in the epistles talk about receiving whatever we ask for. I think people get confused about that. I've talked to people. We had a man, his wife had cancer, and he prayed and he believed that God would save her from her cancer, and He did not. She died. In the expected time, she died, and he just knew that God has let him down, that God did not keep His Word. And I tried to explain to him, though hard, that God never promised that his wife would live. And he should not have prayed only that, "But Lord, help her to live. That's my desire. But if it's not Your will, Lord, I accept whatever Your will is." I have been asked to pray that somebody would live, and I told them, "Are you willing to die if it's not the Lord's will? Because I'm not willing to pray that you live if you're not willing to accept the Lord's will." That's a good thing to say to somebody who asks you to pray. You need to be careful that we don't mislead people and make them think we feel like we have some special power in prayer. We don't at all. Okay? If anybody prays for something and you know they're praying for it, and God answers the prayer, who gets the glory? But there are a lot of people who want to give the person who prayed the glory. Oh, they had the faith. Well, they may have had faith, and it may be commendable faith. I'm not saying that, but it was not them that healed the individual. It was God who did it, and he obviously should get the glory. So we use this verse in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we do what we do according to the will of God. We must limit our all things in these verses to those things that please the Lord. If it doesn't please the Lord, He's not going to do it. If it's not His will to do it. There's another New Testament verse we should look at, maybe James chapter 1. I had you turn there early, but you probably pulled your thumb out already. James chapter 1 and verse 6. James chapter 1 and verse 6, a New Testament verse after the Gospels. It says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." So this verse also seems to suggest that we can ask God for something and expect that we can get it if we believe enough. And whatever we can muster up enough faith to believe God will do, some people think, well, He'll do it because I have that much faith. I've heard many people talk like that. But there's a context to this verse. Look at verse 5. Tell me what we can ask God for and know that He'll do it for us. We can ask for wisdom. That's the context of the verse, right? And anything that God wills for us, we can ask for believing that He will do it. We know a lot of things. We're witnessing to individuals having a Bible study again tomorrow night. And I'm praying, Lord, You go ahead and work on their hearts. Convict them of sin. I'm quite sure God is doing that because that's what He wants to do. That's the business of the Holy Spirit. And I've asked Him to do it, and He's doing it. And you should ask Him to do it for those individuals whose lives you would like to affect for Christ, because He said He wants to do that. We know it's His will, right? So it's important that we keep these things in mind. The context in James is not all things, but specifically to pray for wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, but let him ask in faith, is the next line. So in spite of the fact, that we cannot ask for anything that we want and expect God to give it, it is still very clear in the Scriptures that prayer should be linked to faith, don't you think? Prayer should be linked to faith. As a matter of fact, everything that we do and everything we have in Christ is linked to faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So God requires faith. We have to believe. But believe what? If we can't just believe I'm going to get everything I ask for, what can I believe? How does my faith affect prayer? Now, I want to spend the rest of the time answering that question. A, praying and asking in faith, it means to believe that God will hear my prayers. You believe God will hear your prayers? I talked to somebody yesterday, and they asked me, well, when I pray, do I just talk to myself? I said, no, you talk to God. And He will hear you. And this person said, do you mean I just have to talk out loud? Or can I just say it in my mind? Can I just do it myself? I said, you can do that. Because He knows your thoughts afar off, Psalm 139 says. So you can pray to God in your mind. You can pray to God out loud. And the Lord will hear. The Lord knows your prayers. He knows your heart, right? So, I tried to share that with this particular individual. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. I'll let you turn there. Matthew 6, 6. I say I'll let you. You can always turn there. I'll pause if I hear a lot of pages flipping. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. It says there, and we've looked at this verse already, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So we're talking about believing that God will hear and answer our prayers. We can shut our doors and pray to Him, and He seeth in secret, and He'll reward us openly. Someone said when we tell others about our troubles, about 50% of the people don't care. About 40% of them think that you got what's coming to you. And about 10% might actually pity you enough to pray. I don't know how they would know such a thing, but I thought that's interesting. And maybe so. I don't know. But parents are different, aren't they? Parents are different. Father and mother hear the irregular breathing of an infant in the next room all through the night in their sleep. It's amazing. Their ears are tuned to the little one. I didn't believe that until we had children. And we would be at sleep at night, and one of the boys would make just a little peep. And And it was amazing. I was wide awake those first weeks, wide awake. And if it was allowed, a sneeze or something, I told my wife, you'll have to peel me off the ceiling, because it startled me that the little one made some noise. My ears were tuned to that little one. And so it is. Don't you know it's that way with our Heavenly Father? He never misses even our passing thought toward Him. He hears everything that you think in His direction, that you pray to Him in your mind or with your lips. A man's daughter had asked a local pastor to come and pray with her father, who was very sick. When the pastor arrived, he found the man lying in the bed with his head propped up on two pillows and an empty chair sitting right beside the bed. The pastor assumed that the old fella had been informed of his visit, and he said, "I guess you were expecting me," he said. "No," he said, "who are you?" "Well, I'm the pastor from your local church," the pastor replied. "When I saw the empty chair, I figured that you knew I was coming." "Oh, yeah, the chair," said the bedridden man. "Would you mind closing that door?" he asked him. Puzzled, the pastor sort of pushed the door to. "I've never told anyone this," the man continued. "Not even my daughter," said the man. "But all of my life, I have never known how to pray. At church, I used to hear the pastor talk about prayer, but it always went right over my head. I abandoned any attempt to pray," the old man continued, "until one day, about 4 years ago, my best friend said to me, 'Joe, prayer's just a simple matter of having a conversation with the Lord. Here's what I suggest. Sit down on a chair, place an empty chair in front of you, and in faith, see Jesus on that chair. It's not spooky, because he promised, I'll be with you always. Then just speak to him and listen in the same way that you do with me right now.' So I tried it," Joe said. "I tried it, and I've liked it so much that I do it a couple of hours every day. I'm careful, though. If my daughter saw me talking to an empty chair, she'd either have a nervous breakdown or send me off to some funny farm." The pastor was deeply moved by the story and encouraged the old man just to continue on his journey. Then he prayed with him and he returned to the church. Two nights later, the daughter called to tell her pastor that her daddy had died that afternoon. "Did he seem to die in peace?" he asked. "Yes, when I left home around 2 o'clock, he called me over to his bedside, told one of his corny jokes, and then he kissed me on the cheek. When I got back from the store an hour later, I found him dead. But there was something strange, in fact, beyond strange, kind of weird. Apparently, just before Daddy died, he leaned over and rested his head on a chair beside the bed." The Lord is near, isn't he? I thought that was kind of a neat story to share. Secondly, we need to believe that God will answer all of our prayers. Do you have some unanswered prayers? No, not really. Maybe not answered the way you thought they would be. But let me say that God answers our prayers. He answers our prayers. Sometimes he says yes to whatever we ask. Like with Hannah. You remember Hannah? It's the story's in 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. So Hannah rose up after that she had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post in the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, "Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life." Who was that son? It was Samuel. Eli answered when she finished her prayer. Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and God, the God of Israel, grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Before I decided to go to Bible college, I've told you before, I had a little bit of time to work, and I asked the Lord, "Lord, if you really want me to go to Bible college, I would ask that you would give me all of my first year's tuition before it's time to register. That was a big step. That was a lot of money. But the Lord did it. Miraculously so. Some people gave me money. Others gave me opportunity to work for them. And I had enough money before time to register in the fall. I had enough money to go to Bible college. Sometimes God says yes. And you have not. Why? You didn't ask. So there you go. If you don't ask, then don't expect it necessarily. Sometimes, though, the Lord might have to say what? He might have to say no. And then we feel like we didn't get an answer to our prayer, but we did. In 2 Corinthians, turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 9, Paul asked three times for something. The Lord told him no. Let's see how Paul takes that no. This is 2 Corinthians 12, 7. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. 2 Corinthians 12, 7, Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So what did the Lord say? Said no. No, that's not what we want to do here, Paul. I am made stronger. I am seen for who I am when I work in your life, and you have these weaknesses. Now think about that. Some of us have some weaknesses. I'm getting more and more all the time. Are you? As we get older, we can't do what we used to, and we pray, "Lord, help me to do this," or "help me to do that." But the Lord knows. It's okay to pray, but don't necessarily think we're going to get everything we ask for. Because God hasn't promised that, and maybe it wouldn't be good for us. Maybe it wouldn't be good for us. How else might God answer prayer? Sometimes he says, wait, a little later. It's not time for that yet. Like in David's life, Psalm 13, he told David, wait, later. It's interesting. I love these psalms where the psalmist seems to sort of plead with the Lord. Habakkuk did the same thing here. David says in Psalm 13, verse 1, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" I'm at verse 2. "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and though that trouble and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." So it's nice. How long I will... the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. So it starts and ends, and there's a great transition just in those six verses. But he told David later. It was later for David. It didn't happen when he thought, but it happened later. He was blessed of God until the day he died. I was called to a church once upon a time before I moved to Pennsylvania years ago. I was called. I went over. I candidated. They sent word that they accepted my candidacy and asked if I would come and consider being the pastor. And I prayed about it, and I felt really uneasy about it. It just was not a good fit, I thought. They didn't like my answer. But I continued to pray, "Lord, show me a good fit then. If this is not what you want, then show me what you do want." And the Lord said, "Just wait a while." And I did. and my family prayed. And I had a desire welling up in my heart to go to a particular church that was very divided, right down the middle, divided. And people had left and there was anger in the church and there was all sorts. And I felt like the Lord wanted me there. Wow. And my children were praying, Lord, bless that little church in. And they named the town it was in. So it was amazing to me. We all wanted to go to that church. My whole family, two little boys and Mary Jean and myself, we wanted to go there. The Lord just gave us an illuminated path to go to a particular place that seemed like, wow, this is not something you would want to do. But it was what the Lord wanted, and He really blessed. He did. It was not easy, but He certainly blessed. He said, wait a while, though. How about a fourth answer? You want to guess? How about different? Sometimes we pray for one thing and He gives us something slightly different than what we ask, but you still recognize it as His answer. Like in the case of Jonah. Just listen. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarsus. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. Did he take his life? No, he just gave him a gourd. And then he caused the gourd to die. And he taught him some valuable lessons, didn't he? There was a great revival in Nineveh. And it lasted for a long time. It affected that nation for a long time. Have you ever prayed for something and God answered it differently? At a previous ministry, if you'll pardon the personal illustration, we had a piece of land across the street from the church. We didn't need the land. We had plenty on this side. We thought, let's sell that. It was a few acres, sizable tract of land. And so we thought, well, it would be good. There were developments around, and we'll get some houses built over there. Maybe they'll come to church here. And we got somebody to perk the land. That is to see if the septic systems would work on the land. The land would not perk. So then we asked the Lord, we started praying, Lord, send us somebody who will buy this land who doesn't need to have it perked, that they won't need septic systems on it. Do you know what the Lord sent us? A man was interested in the land, and he said, well, I do that kind of work. Let me try to see if it'll perk. And he went out, and he got it to perk, and he bought the land for our original idea. We were praying, Lord, send somebody who doesn't need to build houses that can just use the land for something. And He answered it better than we asked. It was different than we asked, but praise the Lord. And we did indeed praise the Lord. We need to believe that God will answer our prayers correctly as well. Correctly. If I ask something that God says He wants me to have, He will tell me what? Yes. Okay, you can have that. Is any sick? Is any of you that lack wisdom? Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, it says in James 1:5. If I ask for something that God already said is not good for me, what will the answer be? No. So we should expect that, right? For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. We could covet something. That's a sin that can happen just in the mind, in the heart, right? We covet something. And we ask God for that something. The answer is no. He's not going to give us what we covet. If we ask for something that God knows I'm emotionally or spiritually or physically just not ready for, the answer would be maybe later. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. In due time. If I ask for something I want, but God knows of something better, the answer might be different. So four ways the Lord answers prayers. The Bible says in Matthew 7:11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, How much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in, shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Matthew 7:11. So three things tonight. God always hears your prayers. Always. God always answers your prayers. And God always answers your prayers correctly, right. He does the best thing. He loves his children. I hope that'll be a blessing to you as you consider it. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share these thoughts, for the blessing of it. Lord, particularly I pray that we would remember that Lord, you've not promised to give everything that we can imagine. Some things are not good for us. Some things are untimely. Some things are asked for in the wrong motive. And Lord, help us to understand that we can pray in faith, believing that you will do what you've promised to do. And help us to know, Lord, that you will hear our prayers, and you will answer our prayers, and you will always answer them, Lord, in a way that's best for us and for your glory. I thank you for these thoughts. Pray you'd bless them to our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen.